Well, good morning. What a beautiful day. I believe spring has arrived. It's a day that the Lord has made and one that we can rejoice and be glad in. Amen. What a wonderful time of year, wonderful place to be. I can't think of a better place to be than with God's people. Gather around God's word and fellowship and praising our God. What I love, I was talking with Danny and Friendly, and we were just saying, you know, it's good to have a place to get up and go to. It's good to have purpose in our lives. And we know that God has given all of us a purpose, those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe today, if you're that person that has yet to do that, we hope that today can be that day for you. I just want to say that up front in case you might be you get up and go get a cup of coffee or something or use the restroom. But this is all about Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about the kingship of Jesus. And we realize, I love that song about the Holy Spirit, because we realize that nothing takes place, those of us who know God's word, and to have the Holy Spirit living in us, that nothing really happens of significance unless the Holy Spirit allows it to happen. If he doesn't teach us, then we don't learn. If he doesn't lead us, then we are going in the wrong direction. If he doesn't convict us, then we are not changed. And so we invite him in. We know he's here in us. And so we want to give him right away this morning to lead, guide, and teach us this morning and what God would have us to learn. Just a follow-up on, you've been hearing something, maybe it's your first time here, if you're a visitor, once again, welcome. We're so glad you're here, and we pray that you leave this place a little different than you came in, just a little bit more like Christ for all of us. We hope that happens today. But welcome today. So we just want to give you a little follow-up. We are moving toward reaching people for God. That's really what it's all about, and we've been talking about a ministry called Restore Ministry. And Restore is all about, in our community, there's an opiate epidemic going on. And so we are moving forward with that, hoping to share the gospel and the good news for those who don't know him, because Christ is the one and only hope for the world today. Amen just means it's so. That's right. That's all it means. Yeah, I agree. You're speaking the truth, brother. That's what amen means. And it's okay to say that if you feel so moved to say that, okay? Amen. We are looking to share the gospel and the good news with those who don't know him. And we are on mission. And we'll talk a little bit about that today, why the king has come. And he's given us a mission to go and share that gospel with those who don't know him. So I want to encourage you with that. We meet here on Tuesday nights. That's for people with hurt habits and hang-ups. Not just opiate addiction, but there are all kind of brokenness and we're flawed in this world, those of us. But Jesus came to make us new so that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we gather, those of us who are new and those of us who aren't, so that you might know about this newness. Hope. We offer hope because hope is the one and only answer for the world today. Money can't buy it and pleasure can't give it. It's found in Jesus Christ. So we want to offer hope. So if you're dealing with hurt habits and hang-ups, and we all have them, divorce, issues, and no matter what your hang-up might be, come with, join us on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. It's a group of us that's co-ed. So ladies, you are welcome. Men, you are welcome. Come and be a part of what God is doing. It's going to be a great time. So that's one of our starts. We're also going to the community looking for opportunities and ways to reach people who are struggling with this horrible, again, heroin epidemic. And as we look around and read the papers, we see that Ohio is probably ranked either first or second in the nation in overdoses from heroin. And so we got issues and we got problems. But we're going to go to God's word this morning and see what the Lord will have to speak to us and say to us about the kingship of Jesus. Can I ask you to do me a favor this morning? I'm going to read for God's word. I'm having to put it up on the bulletin. But if you have your iPad, Bible, whatever you might be working with this morning with God's word, you want to open that up. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to read God's word. So I want to ask you to stand this morning if you're able. If you're able to stand, please stand while I read it for us. Reads like this. It says, and when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethage and the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he spent the night there. Thank you. God's word, please be seated. What I want us to see this morning is, and I want Jesus to help us with, is Jesus' own proclamation of his kingship. And I'd like to do it in a way that makes sure that you see the nature of his kingship now and the different nature of his kingship when he comes a second time. That means that Jesus has come once, but he's coming again. You often hear us say that. Sometimes we say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus has come once, but I want you to know he's coming back again. And I want you to know this morning there's still time, even today, when you can accept the salvation and the pardon of King Jesus and what he has for you. And you can renounce your allegiance to self and success and money and family and physical pleasure and security and whatever else holds your heart more than Jesus. And you can bow and receive Jesus Christ as your king, and you can swear allegiance to him and be on the side and on his side with everlasting joy. I want us to know this morning that the kingship of Jesus will look different than it does now when he comes the second time. I want to help you feel the wonder of this brief season, if you would, of salvation in world history. And yes, I say brief, though it has lasted 2,000 years compared to how long we will exist in heaven or hell. Oops, I did say that in church, didn't I? Heaven or hell. There is a hell, and there's an eternity that we're going to spend somewhere. Just so we know that this morning. And so this brief time of 2,000 years is very small compared to what eternity will be like. Consider that a day is coming, and perhaps soon, when the kingship of Jesus will be very different than it is now. Here's a description of that kingship in John, as John saw it in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. He says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the kingship of Jesus appears in the skies like that, it'll be too late to switch sides. Behold, now is the acceptable time of salvation. I remember that verse. I remember how God used that verse in my own personal life as I struggled with sin in my life and brokenness and loneliness and depression and oppression and compression and you name oppression, and I was dealing with it. And I begin to hear this message from this pastor that said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Come as you are, because I was thinking by that time I had looked at Christians. I had heard the word of God. My heart was under conviction. I knew I wanted to make a change. And when I heard that, it set me free, because I said, as soon as I get myself together, as soon as I stop this and that, this and that, we might say, as soon as I get those things cleaned up, I'm going to become a Christian. I like the message. I like what's being said. I was under conviction, so I was prepared to change, but I thought I needed to do it myself. But then the pastor preached that message. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Come as you are. Don't wait to clean yourself up. You can't do that. You don't have the power. And if you could do that, then you certainly don't need Jesus, right? I mean, if I could have cleaned myself up, I would have did that. I would have came on my own. I would have fixed myself, but I couldn't do that. Only Jesus could do that, and I'll never forget it. That's my story. I'll never forget it, and I'll never stop telling it, because I went forward and I prayed a simple prayer of faith and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and he did, and he changed me, and I've never been the same. I've never been the same. Somebody has said that evangelism is taking a good look at Jesus and going and telling somebody what you saw. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman, right? That's what happened to her. She's down at the well, and she met a man. See, when you meet Jesus, you're never the same again. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same. You may have met a facsimile, but when you meet Jesus, you're never the same again. Your life is going to be changed. Now, it's a process of growth and sanctification and all those things, but you're never the same. You know that I have had an encounter with Jesus. So this lady goes back to her village and says, come see a man who told me all I ever was. And she gave him a question. Is this not the Christ? Is this not him? You got to meet this man. Come see. And they knew the woman. They knew her lifestyle. When they saw her, it wasn't so much her story, but what they saw in her. They saw something in her. They looked in her eyes and said, oh, I see something different in her. And the Bible says that the whole village came down and many believed. Not on her testimony, but on their own testimony, because they came and met him themselves. And that's what we need to do. We need to meet Jesus for ourselves. You know, until Jesus comes again, he offers us the security of resting in him. And, you know, it's not just pie in the sky, sweet by and by. I mean, you can have the overcoming, abundant Christian life right now. Amen? If you're not living that, then you're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath your privilege. You've either gotten distracted, discouraged, disappointed, and Satan gives us all those things, keeping our eyes off the vertical. When I start to look around me, I can get discouraged or depressed. But when I begin to look at the vertical and begin to get a good look at Jesus once again, I'm reminded of the goodness of Jesus. I'm reminded that he's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's full of patience and grace. And that brings joy to my soul. until he comes again. This is the wonder of his kingship, is that he saves sinners. God has come to save sinners. You know God loves sinners. That's why we're going after people who are struggling, right? I mean, Jesus, when they went to him and they were talking about those who were sick and going to those who didn't need him, he said, you know what? The physician doesn't go to them that is well, does he? I mean, if you're well, you don't need to go to the doctor. Am I right? So Jesus said, I'm going to those who need me, who are sick, who need to be healed and redeemed. That's where Jesus went, and that's where he was going. Jesus goes to those who need to be healed, and that's why we are always about taking the gospel to those who need the hope of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. So let's watch him this morning as he makes this proclamation. I just want you to see him. I want you to hear him. I want you to rivet your attention this morning on Jesus Christ. He will win you, and God will heal you, and he will save you. There are five ways that Jesus declares his kingship in this triumphal. It's called the triumphal entry. And those of you who've been in the church a while, you know where I am in Matthew chapter 21. It's called the triumphal entry. Mind you, all of them are Jewish, but he was a Jew, and he was fulfilling Jewish promises of a coming king and a Messiah. But all of them are bigger than Jewish. Remember, this book of Matthew ends in chapter 28 with the words, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Words of Jesus Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And this, here's my promise, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's not forget our purpose, church. Now, we're saved and redeemed. God has redeemed us for a reason, not just so I can escape hell, but so I can go out and share this good news with the world. He loved the world. He loved them old sinners, right? Me and you, that's me. He loved me. Undeserved it. He showed his grace and his love and said, I love the sinner. So we want to continue to pass that on. We're saying, come on, world. We're headed somewhere, and you're welcome. Christianity is inclusive and not exclusive. It's whosoever will. It's the whosoever will. So we're saying, come. Jesus is saying, come. Come. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden. Come. Jesus invites us to come. Come to him. All authority in heaven and earth. Jesus says, I am his king, not only king of the Jews, but king of all the nations. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Jesus sends two of his disciples to get a donkey. Verse 2 says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Why? What is he doing? Why does he want to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? Never before has he done such a thing. Matthew tells us why in verses 4 and 5. He says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. In Zechariah 9 and 9, if you're taking notes, write that down. You can look it up later. It says, say to the daughter of Zion, that is to Israel, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. I heard a story about a donkey. A donkey, one thing about a donkey, it's a beast of burden, but a donkey has a wonderful sense of direction. And I just heard this this week, some people who were missionaries in Egypt, and they said when a sandstorm comes, you can't see 2 feet in front of you. The sand is blowing. But there is not a caravan that goes out with camels without a donkey. Why? Because the donkey can always find its way home. It'll always find, you take a donkey and drop him off, he'll find his way home. A donkey will find his way home. So Jesus takes this lowly beast of burden and gets on it and rides on it. Remember, we were talking about he's not riding on the white horse. He didn't come that way the first time, but he's coming back again. Oh, he's coming back in a different way. He's saying, I am gentle and lowly. I am not in my first coming on a white war horse with a sword and a rod of iron. I'm not coming to slay you, I'm coming to save you. This time, today is the day of salvation. But is he only coming for the daughters of Zion? Is he only coming for those of Israel? Listen to the context in Zechariah 9:9. It reads like this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion, his kingship, that is, will be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." That's proclamation number one. Jesus very intentionally acts out the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9 and declares his humble, gentle, saving, Jewish, and global kingship. And he invites you and me to receive it. In verses 12 and 13, Jesus acts out another Old Testament text. It says he entered the temple and he drove out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. Let's not get it twisted this morning. Don't think that this meek, gentle, lowly Savior Kings was without passion for his Father's glory. Then to explain what he's doing, he quotes Isaiah 56 and 7. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a robber's den." There are two things that make this action in the Old Testament quote so significant. One is that in the context in Isaiah, he's about the coming kingdom of God. And so Jesus put himself in the position of the coming king. And the other is that the context is global, not just Jewish. Listen to Isaiah 56, 6 through 8. It says, "Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house will be called the house of prayer for all the peoples." The Lord God, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, "Yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered." So when Jesus chooses a prophetic word to interpret his action in a temple, he chooses one that underlines his coming on a donkey as king and the fact that his kingship is for all the peoples. He is for you today. It is for me. He is jealous and open to the Father's house for you so that it might be a house of prayer for all people. Third proclamation in verse 14, it says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them." Imagine what an impact this must have had. We are talking about the most public place in the city, the temple. This wasn't done in the closet. He did it in the most public place. We're talking about the blind people and people who can't walk, lame, paralyzed people, not people with headaches and sore throats. This was a public demonstration of something. What was it? What we've already been told that at least once. When John the Baptist was in jail, he sent and asked Jesus, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" In other words, are you the coming king of Israel, the Messiah? And I love what Jesus did. Jesus sent back word to John in Matthew 11, and he said, "Go and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk." In other words, yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm the coming king. Why? What does the healing of the blind and the lame in the temple after coming into Jerusalem on a donkey mean? What's that mean? I am the coming king because in Isaiah 35, the prophet describes the coming kingship of the Messiah like this. "Take courage, fear not. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the lame will leap like deer." Jesus comes on a donkey, lowly and gentle and patient. He comes cleansing his Father's house to make it a house of prayer for all nations. He comes healing the blind and the lame and all who show what his kingship is now in part, and he will be fully in the age to come. He's not a kingship over kings, but over disease and all nature. We will not be safe and sick when he comes. We will be safe and whole absolutely whole. There's a day coming when Jesus comes back. Those of us who struggle with different things in this world, that we'll be made whole. We will no longer be sick and lame and blind. God is coming, and we shall be healed, and we shall be made whole. Now is acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Will you trust him? Will you receive his pardon? Will you become his subject? I was thinking about that. Sometimes I know we live in America. We don't really understand kingship. That means he's the boss. He's the king. A king has all authority. Okay, I know in our world we say it's your world. Make it your world. It's all about you. So the world revolves around you. But God is saying, no, the world should revolve around me. I am king. I know we say nobody's the boss of me. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Right? That's what our society teaches many of us. And so we're rebellious. We want to do it our way, but Jesus says, no, I am king. So now is acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Trust in him. Put your faith in him. Receive his pardon. Become his subject. Because one day, every knee will bow. That's the word of God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the honor and glory of God the Father. So if we don't bow now, one day we will bow to Jesus Christ. Finally, Jesus proclaims his kingship by the way he responds to what the people and the children are doing and saying. In verse 8, the crowds are spreading their cloaks on the road in front of him. This is what they did when the kings were crowned in the Old Testament. That's the way they did it. They said, the king is coming. So they laid out their coats and they're cutting trees down and they're making everything nice for him. The road is nice. In verse 8, the crowds are spreading their cloaks on the road in front of him. This is what they did. And the children were getting involved in it. In verse 9, the crowds were shouting, Hosanna! Salvation to the Son of God. Amen. Amen. The hope for a King of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now these words are from Psalm. Then in verse 15, the children are shouting the same things. Hosanna to the Son of David. In other words, the King is here. The King is here. But the chief priest became angry. So they said in verse 16, do you hear what the children are saying? Now, I think you could just as easily have said, did you hear what those crowds said? Did you hear what they said? Did you see what they were doing when they put their cloaks on the ground? They can't believe that Jesus is letting all this go unchallenged. Then Jesus answers in verse 16b, he says, yes, yes, I do. I not only hear it, I planned it, and I receive it. I would gladly receive it from you. And he would gladly receive it from us. Then he ends this section by quoting Psalm 8. He says, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. That's God preparing praise for himself out of the mouths of babes. We use that term sometimes. Don't when you hear a child say something that's pretty profound. Wow, out of the mouth. Where did they get that? How did they learn that? Out of the mouth of babes. Well, that's Psalm 8. That's what God said. I'm going to put it in the children's mouth. I'm going to prepare it so that they may have praise for me. What's so astonishing about this is that it refers to God. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Somebody made a song to that, didn't they? Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength or praise because of your adversaries. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Jesus receives the praises of little children and then explains it by quoting a psalm where children are praising God. Let me tell you, say this to you as we close. Worship team, will you come? The King has come and is coming. There was a fifth proclamation, this would be it. So here he is concluding. Jesus came the first time and he's coming again. As a king over all kings, king of Israel, king of the nations, king of nature, and in the universe. Until he comes again, there's a day of amnesty and forgiveness and patience. He still rides a donkey and not yet a white war horse with a wrought iron. He is ready to save all who receive him as Savior and treasure and King. Come to him now. Know him, receive him. Live life in allegiance to him. Pastor Lockridge wrote a thing, "He's My King," and I want to read that for us this morning. It reads like this. It says, "My King was born a king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's an ethnic king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescopes can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the almighty God who guides and keeps us all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He regards. He's diligent and he beautifies the meek. That's my king. Do you know him? Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe him for you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. That's my king. Incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heavens of heavens can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. death couldn't handle him and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He's always has been and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he's not going to resign. That's my King. That's my King. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all that power belongs to my King. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power. But in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power, yeah, and the glory. And we try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves. But the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And when that's all done, it's ever and ever and ever. Then, amen.